Hello everyone, and welcome to minute 113 of season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is John, also known as J-Bam, from the Dirty Harry Minute. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you for having me, Rob. Thank you for having me, listeners. Glad to be back.
Yeah. So minute 113 begins with John and Zeus, I guess, becoming mermen or doing a water dance or something like that. And ends with Zeus giving a suggestion. So, I mean, we ended things yesterday with basically John and Zeus jumping off the boat with some really bad green screen CGI and landing in the water. And I guess maybe being knocked out just for a few seconds from that so that they wouldn't drown. You know, we don't want that to happen to them. You know, we want them to be okay.
No.
And
their bodies definitely went limp for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about the fact that it was about 8 seconds that they were underwater in yesterday's minute. But today, we have about 10 seconds of them in the water, you know, where they end up, trying to swim up to the top of the thing. I always wonder about these type of things because, like, in movies, the whole idea is to, you know, be as concise as possible. You know, you don't want to waste any time in the runtime of a movie, but to spend 18 seconds of this movie with John and Zeus in the water sounds to me a bit excessive.
I agree. I mean, yeah, well, I don't know how much the explosion would affect, you know, basic falling through water. I don't know how far they've jumped from, but, and in cinematic terms, yeah, it is a long time, but I guess they want to convey the stakes of how serious it is. It may be a little indulgent, but I don't know. I think it works okay. And you've got the soundtrack there, and it's got sort of bells ringing.
Yeah.
While there's like a string section that's getting louder. So you've got that. Oh, is it? Well, that's not definitely not Christmas in New York City, is it, by the weather? But and then you've got that planet. It's sort of a Planet of the Apes type, like last 3 seconds of the soundtrack reminds me of that song, one of those songs during the hunt with Charlton Heston. So 18 seconds, yeah. I guess when you say it like that, it does sound like a long time, but I don't know. You've got to convey the stakes of how nearly they were nearly killed.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But you know that in movies, they basically know how to truncate time. And yeah. You know, spending this much time with watching the two of them, you know, hit the water, float in the water, and then, you know, come to and start swimming out. It seems to me that they could have cut things a little bit better. Again, I don't know the reasoning behind, you know, wanting to show us so much of it. You know, because there's the whole idea of movie logic. I mean, obviously, these are characters that will survive. You know, it's not a question of that. So do we need to see them for so long in the water? You know, in most movies, you'd see, you know, the characters, there's an explosion, they land in the water, and the next thing you know, you see their heads popping up out of the water.
I think the real crime in this scene, Rob, is that he didn't say yippee-ki-yay, mother, when he jumped over the
side. Well, no, he says that only when he's getting ready to kill somebody, doesn't he?
He does, but this is the third in the movie franchise. He could have, you know, ad-libbed.
Well, I mean, he will have a place to say it, you know. I'm pretty sure next week we'll talk about that. So he's not there yet. He's getting close to it.
Okay.
You know, they like to say these, you know, one per movie. So, you know, this would be a wasted spot for that, I guess.
Well, obviously, I won't be here to deal with those minutes.
No,
but
sorry.
Some people have said the ending's a bit of a wet fart, so maybe it's a bit of a waste to be used in later minutes. But anyway, that's my prejudice.
Well, there's three different endings, so it could be anything.
Ah, okay. God, you're always saving. Everything I say, you you do lend good, you do respond to them fairly. Yeah.
I shouldn't I shouldn't be responding.
You're neutral. You're neutral. That's right.
I'm trying to be. Again, I've talked about this before, and I'm sure I will talk about this in the coming weeks. That's my biggest complaint of this movie is that the ending and none of the three endings are satisfying. There's something wrong with each of the three. They just couldn't get they couldn't get it right as much as they tried. And it's unfortunate because it would have been so much nicer to get a more satisfying ending. Because in the first two movies, they did it really well. They were able to give us some endings that you can cheer about.
Yeah.
This isn't an ending that you can cheer about. This is an ending that you're like, okay, that's what they want to do. Again, there are elements of all three endings that they could have put together and
Yeah.
make something a little better. I like how in the, we'll talk more about this obviously next week, but there's an alternate ending with a missile. And one of the things in the dialogue there is John tells him I'm a detective and that's how I found you. And he explains how he found him,
Oh.
which is great. And they don't do that here. Here it's okay. We'll talk about this in the next few days. He gets a little one little clue and the next thing you know he's there. There's no there's little effort to find it. But oh well. What can you do? That's how they decided to do this.
I mean, this, even despite the ending, which isn't to my taste, and obviously, what you've just said, not to your taste too, and a lot of our listeners, it is a really good movie. And I remember when I was a youngster, like I remember mentioning to someone that, my favorite film was Dirty Harry, and they said, "Oh, you must like Die Hard 3." And I said, "Oh, why?" And they said, "There's a phone booth bit from Phone Booth to Phone Booth." Like, oh, really? Because obviously, there's the famous scene with Scorpion and Harry in San Francisco, which is a really good scene. And probably the inspiration for part of this. And they said, yeah, you'll love Die Hard, even though the sort of phone booth thing sort of fizzles out after a while, or it's just a certain plot point. And so that was, I mean, I saw it straight away and I've loved this
Understandable.
movie ever since. And Oh yes, well you've dedicated many hours
Me? No, come on.
to substantiate that. I don't know if you ever talked about my I don't know if you ever talked about whether this is all this whole movie is just a fever dream during when Hans Gruber's falling to his death. He's imagining in his head in those 10 seconds about how his brother
A great idea.
could
Never
get
thought about
revenge
it.
for him.
I like that idea.
But yeah,
It goes
maybe
along with
that's
the
what
idea
they.
that the whole idea of Indiana Jones is when Han Solo is dreaming in carbonite, Same premise.
Yes, I've been. We've all enjoyed. Well, if you haven't, listeners. If you haven't heard Indiana Jones Minute, I'm sure a lot of you have, then that's a theme that they constantly refer to, and it's quite funny. And it's quite fun to listen to them talk about that over many years.
For
Yeah,
sure.
Indiana Jones Minute.
And so basically the John and Zeus work their way towards the surface, and we don't actually see them break the surface because as soon as they get there, the next thing we know, we have a shot of Lambert and Cobb, what looks like at an airfield or something like that, where Lambert like pushes the FBI director out of the way. And walks rushes towards them. They finally got there, and then they have a really quick camera shot that just pans over, and we hear
Yeah.
Lambert says, "How's he doing?" And then Zeus looks up and goes, "I got shot in the leg. How do you think I'm doing?" And then he's being worked on by what looks like two paramedics, and one of them goes, "He's gonna be just fine." Now, I looked on IMDb. There is no. There's no credit for any paramedic or a medic or something like that. So my assumption is that this was probably just a dubbed line. It wasn't the actor himself that was doing it because they legally, I guess, can't do that. It would be a little problematic. Lambert then looks over and, I said, looks towards John. He goes, "How about you?" He goes, "I'm all right. Did you get Ricky out of there?" "Yeah, they found him. So again, I like the way that that seems like a throwaway line here, but it still works. But the fact that John is he like knows that they know about Ricky, but he just wants to make sure that they took care of it. Even though John had really no knowledge about whether they actually, knew about Ricky, I like the way that they do that. Just acknowledge it. Yeah, you got to give him credit for that. And at this point, then Cobb makes his way through. And then Cobb turns to John and goes, "You gonna be all right?" And he says, "Yeah, got a bad headache."
Yeah, no, it's all very, it's sort of tight shots and everyone talking, and it's just very good dialogue that's sort of simple and accompanied with the facial expressions to show them what's happening. It's yeah,
Yeah,
it's just
for sure.
basic filmmaking at its best.
And the next line I love, John says, "You think they're mad at me?" And it's just very funny that he uses the idea of just saying they. And as many times as I've seen this movie, I never paid attention to the fact that as he says they, we're shown Lambert, and we see behind him what's going on. We see Jarvis back there, which I never remembered that he's still, in the picture. That he ever shows up again. We see Bill Jarvis in the background. Cross is not there. Which I guess that means that the FBI is not connected to this, because Cross is probably trying to make sure that his kids are safe, trying to get them out of school. I guess Jarvis doesn't really care about that, but he's walking around on a cell phone in the background, trying to make some sort of connection. And then Cobb says to him, "I wouldn't worry about them. They'll get to you eventually, but right now they're busy with this salvage operation, I guess." And then we get a 2 second shot of Jarvis. Who again, I never paid attention to the fact that he was the one saying this. He goes, "No, dredges, dredges." That's right. Do you know what a
Dredge.
dredges is? Do you know what a dredge is?
Where I live in Melbourne, well, it's removing silt and below water dirt to channeling to make things deeper, isn't it? But the actual process of removing dirt from to make it pure water, is that what dredging is? Or just pulling something out of?
It's basically, pulling things out of the water. It could be that if you're
I
dealing
think.
with pollution or toxins, but it could also be dealing with the way that they construct dams and dikes and things like that.
Where I live, Melbourne, Australia, we have we live in a big bay before it enters the ocean, and to increase productivity, allow shipping containers to come in. They've used these two big dredges to take. They want to widen and deepen the bay so that more ships can fit in. To increase productivity, and they called the dredges. That's the Melbourne dredging project. It took them like a whole 8 years or something. So they were just taking away, they were just making the ocean floor bigger, really. The bay, yeah. So that's how I've heard the word dredging.
Well, I've seen Finding Nemo, so
Well, that's Sydney, isn't it?
isn't that in Melbourne?
No, it's
Oh, it's Sydney. Oops. Oh well.
well, Shitney as we
Oh well.
call
Okay. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Sydney and Melbourne, the same thing. I know they're not, but I'm
Did you have anyone at
that's the way I look at it.
school that always used to say, "Well, actually, the word evacuate refers to something being taken out of something. So you don't actually say the people were evacuated. You said the building was evacuated of people." Did you have that? That's how I learned what the word meant. So, what was your definition of dredging? The
It's actually very interesting. I never thought about that.
yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
So if you evacuate people, it
Wow.
means you're taking things out of them, maybe pulling out their heart, like in Indiana Jones. That's like you're excavating. People are evacuated, sorry.
Okay, well, some people may refer to using the restroom as evacuating from that perspective.
Their bowels were evacuated. Yeah, well, something was taken out of their bowels.
That's right.
Dirty.
That's right. Hey, you're Dirty Harry. What do you
Very good.
expect?
Very good.
Yeah, and then John basically says to Cobb, "They're just wasting their time. There's no gold out there." "What do you mean?" "He took it with him." Now, I love this conversation, the way that it continues here, and John goes, "He beat me," and then Cobb looks at him and goes, "John, he beat all of us." John goes, he wasn't playing against you. And then Zeus's response here is so classic and it's so spot on. He goes, that McLean, you're still alive, aren't you? He goes, well, aren't you? He goes, yeah. So he lost. You know, that is such a great point that Zeus is making here. You know, if Simon's goal was to kill John, then basically he lost. You know, the idea was to kill John. He didn't do it. So John won that. You know, John looks at the fact that he didn't catch him, that means he lost. But Zeus has a very interesting perspective on it by saying that, wait a second, you know, the only reason that you actually won is because his ultimate goal was to kill you. But that sort of simplifies things a little too much, because we also do know that Simon had two goals here.
Yeah.
His main goal was to get the gold, but his second goal was to kill John. So he still was able to get one of those two things.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. I mean,
so I don't know, like, how
we know his ultimate goal is the money. Yeah, when it all comes down to it, killing his brother's killer is just an added bonus. We know that, and of course Samuel
probably right.
doesn't know that or doesn't appreciate that, but it still doesn't negate his yeah. He, I mean, it's still true. John has foiled. Well, John has been a fly in his ointment to the end, and he is still alive. And I have to tell you, do you know what movie that appears from? It's in many movies, but there's one big movie from the 80s.
Which thing? The Fly in the Ointment?
No, You're Still Alive, aren't you?
Fly in the Ointment is from Die Hard.
Yes, You're Still Alive, aren't you? It's in a few movies, but it's in one big one. 80s action movie from 19. It has a foreign. Well, You're Still Alive, aren't you?
Okay, so you're
still alive.
Okay, obviously you're Schwarzenegger. This is Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
What was that? It wasn't Commando, is it?
No, close. It's in a movie that's about reality TV.
Because I was thinking
sort of about reality TV in the 80s. Beginning.
Reality TV with Schwarzenegger? You're probably talking about Total Recall.
Almost.
But that's 92.
Almost. It's in the 80s, though. I didn't prepare any other teasers.
80s? Yes. The Running Man.
Running Man.
The Running Man.
Right.
The Running Man. The Running Man.
Perfect, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it's Samuel L. Jackson does it well, but it's really cool in Arnie's accent. You're still alive, aren't you? It's when they're trying to, you know, trying to break
that's
out of
right.
prison, and they have that, they imitate, they put on a brawl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of The Running Man. Even though it took me four guesses to get there, but yeah, that's
good. Do it minute by minute.
And then basically Zeus then looks at Lambert again and says, hey, Lambert, would you give him a... And then he gets cut off. So we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to find out what he's asking Lambert to give him.
Damn it.
You know, he's going to... Would you give him a noogie? I don't know. It's like, it could be any... Would you give him a swift kick to the ass? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could add in here as to what, you know, what Zeus might want to say here. Something like that. I don't know. So did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, not really. I guess it's still 95 is still, you know, it's not the millennium yet. So you still get what looks sort of like vaguely old fashioned uniforms, like a lot of brown and stuff that you wouldn't see cops wear today, just in the background there. It's funny, you watch movies of the late 80s, Beverly Hills Cop and Ronnie Cox, it's like they were sometimes still wearing three-piece suits almost into the late 80s and a lot of like yucky 70s brown. But thankfully that's sort of changing as we get to the later 90s. Yeah.
Sure. They do nicely though.
Yeah. That's it for me.
All right. Excellent. So once again, nothing to say about the script, but every Wednesday we have a segment called Jesus Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Samuel L. Jackson performances. So you're up again, John. Why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Yep. I'm not going to justify any of these. I'll just I'll just let them stand as they are. Number five, Loaded Weapon. Number four, Django Unchained. Number three, Unbreakable. Number two, Die Hard with a Vengeance. And number one, brilliant performance, Jackie Brown.
So you're a bigger fan of Odell than Jules Winfield?
I would say so, yeah. I wouldn't put Pulp Fiction up there. I've got a complicated relationship with that film, but it's not my favorite Tarantino film at all. I do like the bit where he is talking. It's quite affecting the way he talks about, you know, that line was just some crazy beep I used to say to make myself look tough. You know that bit where you see a bit of vulnerability in him at the end, like reflecting on what he was? He doesn't really – he's a great actor, but just aside from that scene, I don't particularly like Pulp Fiction, him in it. Anyway, no. Jackie Brown, though, is awesome.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. He's such a good actor. He can do so much. Like, look how in Django he's playing that – you know, he's playing such a meek character that's obviously still got resolve inside him. And Loaded Weapon, I love who he can do comedy too. Unbreakable, as you say, he's a master manipulator, but pretending he's totally the victim, totally. Die Hard here, he's such a great companion to Bruce. And Jackie Brown's just something else. But, yeah, those are my five. And Pulp Fiction doesn't need to trouble the list because, yeah, great things to say about all those
That's fair. Yeah. That is definitely fair. All right. Excellent. Would you like to once again tell people where they can find JBAM?
DirtyHarryMinute.com if you're interested in Dirty Harry and the Dirty Harry sequels. Dirty Harry Minute. That's it.
All right. And finding me, once again, is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, moveyourminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moveyourminute@moveyourob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Home again. Hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hurrah. Hurrah! The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.